Psalm 31:14 says this. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. We did a whole series once on, but as for me. And you, there's times that we want to look around at everybody else, but there's truly that sense of, but as for me. When you try to live in such a way of worried about what everything else is going around you, you miss it, church, you miss it. And I love what the psalmist is here. He says, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say that you are my God. My times, I love this, my times are in your hand. What happens when you can come to this place to adjust and trust wherever you're at? And maybe it is truly at times self-inflicted. Maybe it's sin that you've allowed in and that's just ripping you apart. Or maybe it's things that you've said or done that you know are wrong and you need to come back to a place to repent and ask whomever you need to ask to forgive you, and you walk in this place. And maybe it's just something that's come upon you that had nothing to do with you. Or maybe it's just the weight of the world. Maybe it's just the weight of the season that you're in right now. Maybe it is you hurting. Watch this. Maybe it's you hurting for a loved one that is. There's times, church, that our weight is just completely out of our control. Because you hurt for a loved one so deeply. And there's really nothing you can do about it, but the hurt is there. And I love the psalm that says, but as for me, I trust. I depend on you. When you really can believe, God, I know that you truly will make a way. And can I just, we're going to preach in a minute, but this is just such an amazing moment that we got to follow this. And you walk in this place, there's times that you take a moment like this and you just truly have cast it on the Lord like he demands us to do. And then in that, there's times that you just have to let it rest. There's times that you have to be still before the Lord and watch him work. And in this, but as for me, man, I walk in this place to say, God, I don't know when, and I don't know how, but I know that you will. And I walk in this place to trust in you, that God, there will be joy back in my spirit. And God, there will be hope and there will be peace back in my spirit. But God, there's moments that I just need to be still. Because sometimes, watch this, sometimes you think like you're in quicksand, and the more you move and the more you move and the more you move, the faster you sink. When there's moments like this, please hear me, BC. There's moments like this that you walk into place and say, God, I just have to make my adjustment to this, and I'm just going to have to trust in you in this. And there's moments that I just called to do nothing because I've already taken action by trusting in you. I've already taken action by casting it upon you. And God, I'm in a new season right now, and I don't know what this season looks like, but God, there's some anxiety creeping in to this new season, and I'm just not sure. And you walk into this place, God, I can trust you that maybe, just maybe a year from now, I actually had nothing to worry about today had I just actually trusted in you. Have you ever been there where it just builds and it 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 builds, and a year later you're like, what was that? Why was I so concerned about nothing? Who's in that boat? I'm in that boat. And you walk in that place to say, if I had not allowed my mind to go to a place to worry, because actually there was nothing to worry about, and we could just build up a story in our heads. Please hear me, church. I love you. And I want us to walk in this place to say there's times to do nothing. But as for me, I trust in you. I say, you are my God. I love that. It's personal. My times are in your hands. Man, I love that. Come on, welcome to BC. So excited you're here today. We're going to get into the close, and we got short time now, but this is church, man. This is just church. We're not here on a system saying, well, you got 5 minutes for this and you got 3 minutes for that. And you got, we tried that, and it doesn't work here at Believer's Chapel for some reason. So we did actually try that. And B-Man and I, we are always talking like, dude, we just need to get on time. Like the only timing that we want is the time we start. There's supposed to be an end time. I don't know who's in charge of that thing, but We just want to have church, and we want to be together, and we want to pray, and we want to see God move. We want to walk out challenged and different than we walked in. We want to, please hear me, we want to walk out lighter, not weight-wise, but we want to walk out lighter in our spirit than when we came in this house. We want that every single Sunday for people. And I hope that Sunday truly is your best day as you walk in this house to see smiles and be celebrated and walk in this place to see a church that truly desperately loves you. But we're in this series, and there's just so much in my heart on this to close out this, the fruit of wisdom. And I, even this week, you know, I have great time to reflect as I go to something like the Adirondacks and I do my thing and I just quiet at times and I watch everyone else do their thing and I love that. But my mind is always going, and there's just a few words that were just kept repeating in my mind. And it's what happens when you know the mission. Our mission is the kingdom of God. That's, as believers, our mission is his kingdom, his work, his will, building his kingdom. Our mission is to go into all the world and build disciples. That, our mission is to bring people to Jesus Christ. That's our mission, to see people saved, to see people set free, to see people walk in this place, to live out this book. It's not complicated, church. It's black and white. It's written down for us to see. It's not complicated. And you walk in this place, as things just, this last few days have been going through my mind. It's what happens when your mind, your mouth, and your money come to this place to accomplish the mission? What happens when you set your mind on things above and not on the earth? What happens when your words are your mouth begins to speak kingdom language? What happens when your money begins to reflect where your heart is? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What happens when you come to this place as an individual and we as a church? You come to this place to say, how do I accomplish the mission to build his kingdom? And this is what I've been thinking about for 3 days, is what happens when my mind and my mouth and my money line up with the mission? Go ahead, you can write that down, because that's a sentence that might turn into a series here in the future. I don't know. I'm just praying through that. But that was a sentence that came to me. My mind, my mouth, and my money, how does that equal the mission? And there is one mission. It's not our mission. It's that the name of our King would be renowned. That the name of our King would be glorified and honored and would be known and be famous. And you walk in this place and say, that's our mission. And what happens when your mind and your mouth and your money come to this place to equal a mission? That's just where I was the last few days. I'm excited about that. That might be a series that sometimes sentences turn into 4-week series. Who knows? But next week we start a new series on prayer. Don't miss this. I encourage you to be here for this series, as we're going to start seeing the church fill, and we're going to see students come back. We're so pumped about that. If you're a college student, we are so excited to give you a gas card. You fill your car with people, we're going to put gas in your car to get here. I don't care what college you go to. We're excited that you're a part of Believer's Chapel. And we walk in this place to see what God is beginning to do here. And I want you not to miss this next series on prayer. I've even in my own time, just what does really prayer look like for me personally as a dad, as first a husband, and then a father, and then a pastor, and as a friend, and what does it look like? And what does God say about prayer, and just the power of prayer, and what it does to a believer, and what it does to a connection to our Lord and Savior? There's so much to it. I'll preach that next week, not this week. We got a cruise. 10:08, we're going to be here for a little bit. You with me? You okay? We okay? All right. I didn't even see the clock. My keyboard will be out in a couple minutes, but we're going to rip. I'll make sense of this here in a minute. I want you to understand that the fruit of wisdom, we're going to talk about this today. Let me just pray, and then we'll summarize, and we'll bring it in. Lord, I just thank you for this day. What a powerful day here in your presence. Lord, we love you so much. Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you for your cross. We thank you for the work that was done for us on that cross. And we thank you for moments like this, that we can just truly be in your presence. And there's, you've invited us in Psalm 95 to come to your presence. That's an invitation to be in your presence and to give you thanks. Lord, I believe we've done that. I believe you've blessed us. God, as we get into your word, I pray that this is one of those words that we need to take to heart. Be very real on this word. And in a moment, God, it can change us. In a moment, if we apply the simplicity of this, it will change us. In Jesus' name, amen. And today we talk about our words. The Bible has a lot to say about the words that you and I speak. The Bible has a lot to say about what we allow. Every word that you speak is your fault. Please hear that. You want to summarize this message? Let me summarize it for you in a sentence, right? Every word you speak is your fault. You can't blame somebody else for a word that comes out of your mouth, not even in traffic. I would think that God would give us a pass in traffic, right? You would think that God would give us a pass if something slips of some type of anger or some type of thing that you wouldn't say in a church setting. I'm not saying that that ever happens in my car. I'm saying when I ride with people, they may be a little upset. I'm a calm, cool, collective, you know, 35 miles an hour driver. That's what I do, right? We were trying to follow Tom Both. Tom Both's passing every car on the road. Me and Matt are pulling a trailer. I'm like, hey, slow it down. Of course, he was with the trooper. Is his passenger. Trooper's like, go 90. We're like, I want to go the speed limit, please. Thank you. But what happens when you have a deep understanding of every word that comes out of your mouth is on you? And what happens if you have an understanding of the fruit of wisdom? Because the Bible says this, we'll cover it, that a wise words can bring healing. So the fruit of wisdom, a part of our fruit, is the words that we speak, and the words that we speak can bring healing. The words that we speak can bring knowledge. The words that we speak can bring someone to Christ. The words that we speak can bring a life to the truth of God's word. Like, what happens when you begin to understand? Hold on. Jesus actually says in Matthew 12 that, Sean, you are accountable for every word you speak. What? God, you know how much we speak? And you think about, I mentioned the mind and the mouth, but there's nothing else that we do more than use our mind and use our mouth. And the two will actually make you or break you. Your mind can make you or break you. It can put you in such a great place. Even in the midst of crazy, if you get your mind right, it can put you in a good place. Your mouth, even when things aren't going right, your mouth, there is fruit to the words that you speak, and your mouth can put you in a good place or a bad place. And I love, if you would turn quickly to Matthew chapter 12, I want you to see this, because this is huge. Because today is one of those days that, and I love this, because no matter where you're at in your life, whether you're a high school student, whether you're a college student, whether you're in a dating relationship, whether you're married, whether you're single, wherever you're at, you walk in a place, I can change the atmosphere of every relationship I have by the words I speak. You can instantly change. You want to show your wife, I can change, honey, I can change. The one way to truly prove immediately that you have the ability to change is to change the words you speak. Church, you got to hear me on this. This is the big deal today. Like, nobody else will give an account for the words that I speak. I give an account for the words that I speak, and that's a real deal. And you walk in this place and say, okay, I need to begin. That proverb says, think before you speak. How many people know somebody? Don't look around, but you know somebody who should take that advice. Bro, you should think before you speak. And you walk in this place to realize God's advice to us through Proverbs and through all of Scripture is to think before you speak, because there's a day that you're going to give account for the words that you speak. Are you kidding me? The Bible says there's death and life in the power of the tongue. Church, what happens? What happens when you want to walk in a place to be wise and your words, they matter? And you want to change the atmosphere of your marriage? You can instantly, hear me, please, you can instantly change the atmosphere of your marriage by the words you speak. And there's times that shut up makes a lot of sense. Can I repeat that? There's times that shut up makes a lot of sense. There's times, even in my counsel to people, there's times like, okay, even in the situation, the scenario you're in, it's time to shut up. And it's time to never say this again. And it's time to not repeat. And it's time to just let it go. And it's time to shut up, because the more you talk about it, the worse it gets. And the bigger hole that you're digging is because of the words that you're speaking. And I think some great biblical counsel is it's time to just shut up. And you walk in this place, church, to say, what is the fruit of wisdom? Because this is one of those biblical times that you get in to begin to understand every word I speak, it matters. My tone matters, my body language matters, the words I speak, I'm accountable for, and nobody stands before the Lord and gives an account on judgment day because of the words that I speak. I have to. Watch this. Come on, Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, it says this. Either make the tree good or make its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. From the tree is known by its fruit. And please hear me. One of the big points today is your words that you speak are fruit, and you will reap what you sow. Please hear me. You will reap what you sow. When you begin to see the words that come out of my mouth, I am dropping seed, and those seeds are going to bear fruit. It's either good or bad. Anytime I sit down with somebody, I try to calculate words I'm saying. I will have time of prayer. God, should I say this? Should I say this? Where should I go with this? What am I seeing? What's going on? And there's times that when I'm sitting down with somebody, and I've had, it's not one of those surprise moments. It's a moment of, like, I have time to prepare. I have time to think through. I have time to say, okay, every word I'm about to speak, it matters, because number one, I'm giving account to it. And number two, you can never take it back. And I know that I'm planting seed. And in that, there's going to be fruit, right? Good or bad. And this is what he's saying here. Watch this. And he's speaking, watch this now. Guess who he's speaking to? Jesus here is speaking to the religious people. He's speaking to the leaders of the church of his day. They were religious people. They loved the do's and don'ts. They loved the rules and regulations. These were the Pharisees. These were the scribes. These were the elders. These were the people that loved the do's and don'ts rules. These are the people who loved to look at themselves as so high and look at everyone else as so low, because they had it right and other people couldn't keep up with the rules. And here Jesus speaks directly to them. He calls them this brood of vipers. I don't have a whole lot of time to get in that. That's not a compliment. That's all I'll say, right? You brood of vipers, how can you bring evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks, please hear this, the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. And when you just stop and listen to people speak, if you're paying attention, you'll be able to hear what's in their heart. Is it negative all the time? Is it truly positive all the time? Are they speaking life or are they speaking death? What is it that truly fills their heart? Is their heart dark? Because they'll speak dark. Is their heart heavy? Because they'll speak heavy. Is their heart light? They'll speak light. Are they constantly speaking negative about people? Then there's a negativity within their heart. Listen, this reigns true. This reigns true. As a police officer now, for 27 years, I'm still a police officer. You begin to just learn to listen to people, and they'll tell you where they're at. This reigns true. For the mouth speaks out which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil brings out, still in reference to the mouth, right? The treasure that is evil. But I tell you that every careless word, this is all about the words we speak, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified. This is huge. And by your words you will be condemned. And that's a huge statement. And it's speaking in the sense of your character. Your character will speak. And your character is going to be on account for judgment day. And when you look at beginning to see what is a person's character, you begin to, and listen, if you're single, let me encourage you. If you're single and looking, and you're single and waiting, and you're single and excited to not be single, for a male and a female to be together, you walk in a place that I would encourage you to just listen to the person that you're checking out. You begin to listen to the person that you might be interested in. I would encourage you to listen to the words they speak, because they'll tell you their character just by listening to them. And you walk in this place to understand the words I speak are going to truly reveal my character. Come on, let's turn to James 3, please. Turn to James chapter 3. I just want to read a verse here in Proverbs We're going to be in Proverbs in a minute. We got a short time, but I just want to read this because here's the kind of the bottom line to this message today. Proverbs 12 says this, verse 18. I just want to read it while you're turning to James. There is one who speaks rashly like thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise, I love this. That what is the fruit of words? The tongue of the wise brings healing. Do you know how much good you can do with the words that you speak? You know how much truth you can tell? You know how what it is to bring encouragement to somebody who's broken? You know how you can speak, and watch this. I love this. There is one who speaks rashly like thrust of a sword. You ever been, when people are speaking, they're just like jabbing all the time, and it just begins to hurt. You can actually see people begin to bleed because of the tongue of one who just, all they do is try to tear down. All they try to do is just speak death over people. And then there's the tongue of the wise brings healing. So when you say a part of the fruit of wisdom is the words that we speak, and the words that we speak have the ability to bring healing, have the ability to encourage, have the ability to speak life, have the ability to speak knowledge, have the ability to speak truth, have the ability to come to a friend and let truth speak. Like, I love this because there's times that you'll see a friend who's gone down the wrong path. And you want to come to him and say, hey, dude, what is happening, man? The bridge is out ahead. That's going to go one or two ways. If you're being wise and you want to bring healing, it's up to them to receive that word. Like, okay, no, I get it. You're right. I understand it. Man, I'm dating in a place that's not healthy. I'm doing things that are not right. I understand that. And it's from a friend to a friend to say, dude, it's time. That those words that are speaking truth at times could be hard to hear, could bring healing. Do you understand that? There's other words that people just want to just, with their knife, just begin to just be so harsh and to be so harsh with their words. And they're really good. They're really good at their words. You might be, oh, please hear me. You might be in a relationship that somebody's really good at their words in a way of bringing damage. And they just hurt and they hurt and they know, watch this, they know how to push your buttons. They know how to slice and dice, and they're pros at it. I don't know, I just want to encourage any young person here who's in a dating relationship. Chances of that getting better are very slim. That needs to be a serious red flag. That needs to be a serious red flag. If they speak words that are just harsh and they're just slicing and dicing, and then, you know, a day later, they're like, I love you, and they bring flowers. You need to bounce, male or female. Ladies, there's ladies that just have this tongue that is just a nasty tongue. And I want to look at this. Just going to touch on James for a minute. I'll cut it down. I got 5 minutes. I want you to hear this though, please. James 3 has these amazing pictures about how powerful our words are. It talks about a horse with its bit in its mouth. And if you're a farmer, which I'm not, but I have friends that are farmers and they have horses, and horses are gigantic animals that you would think they would just have their way with you. If you don't have a bit in their mouth, there's times if you go to rodeo, you see how a horse can have its way with its rider. But when you have a trained horse with this little tiny thing in their mouth, it's called a bit, this piece of metal in their mouth, that when that's properly trained, watch this, by one who's properly trained on the horse, by their finger, they can tell that beast exactly where to go and what to do. And then you have the rudder of a ship. I'm not a captain of a ship, but when you understand these huge vessels are completely turned by this little tiny rudder by the size of the ship, but you have to have a captain who knows how to handle that rudder. You got to have a cat. You put me behind that, and I don't have any clue what we're doing, and we're just cruising along. And I mean, it was funny because Matt and I went fishing with Tom, You know, we got, you know, Tom is a huge part of the church and we love him dearly. He's a friend of ours. He's invited us once, maybe Matt twice to go. He fishes every single day of his life. And like, he's only invited us once or twice, you'd think. But anyways, we were sailing and it's a true story. We were close to Canada border. Like, I'm like, if I'm driving this ship, you're going to see the U.S. Navy come out and say, dude, you're crossing borders. Have you had, never mind. But when the captain knows how to handle this huge, monstrous ship by a simple turn of his finger on the wheel, right? That little rudder tells the ship exactly where to go and how to get there. And I love where the Bible equates a small, tiny spark can destroy a whole forest. Isn't it amazing that it equates it to our mouth in verse 5, it says this: so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how a forest is set aflame by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among the members by which it defiles the entire body. The tongue is this little tiny thing, and it's actually referencing the words that we speak. You form words with your tongue. And the words that you speak can defile everything about you. Church, what happens when we begin to see a very real picture? And if you would just turn to Proverbs 18, please. You begin to see a very real picture of the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18 says this. We'll start in verse 20. Proverbs 18, verse 20. The fruit of a man's mouth. With the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied. He will be satisfied with the product. Watch this. The product of his lips. We have to begin to understand, God, out of my heart comes my words. So what is actually in my heart is going to be evident in the words that I speak. And I love where you can't run away from this. You can't run away from the reaping and sowing and the reality. If I'm going to walk in the fruit of wisdom, and I want to have an understanding of being wise, and remember what wisdom is. It's our daily activity of following hard after what God says. What God says for us to do day after day. Not complicated, right? Every day we want to follow His word and His advice. That's what wisdom is. So every day we want to be very careful on the very words that come out of our mouth, because I love what 20 says. It sets up 21, but verse 20 again, that with the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied, and he will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Listen, no excuses. Don't say it's persecution when you lose your job because you can't keep your mouth shut and you went after the boss. That's not on him. You're an idiot. Keep your mouth shut. You're supposed to honor your boss. And you're supposed to honor those who are over you. Walk in his place. At times, you want to blame everything on everybody else. If you would have just taken my advice and shut up. That's my advice today. What was your pastor's message today? Shut up. No, you're telling me to shut up. I'm asking you, what was his message? Shut up. But isn't it amazing that if we would actually know that God's word is true, you could go back and kind of do a self-evaluation to say, man, there's so much in my life that has been self-inflicted. My marriage would have been different. My friendships would have been different. My job would have been different. Had I understood that I could be satisfied with the product of my lips. And then verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Church, what happens when we begin to truly understand the words that we speak are seeds? and they're going to bear fruit. Are our words bringing healing? And please hear me. I'm not talking about flattery and fluff. Don't walk in a place to just flatter everybody and be fluffy. I'm asking you to walk in this place to reevaluate our words that we speak. Do I mean what I say? Or am I speaking to get attention upon me? Am I walking in this place to say, okay, if I evaluate, again, yesterday's really truly beyond us, so today we make a change in our home, and today we make a change in our marriage, and we walk in a place to say, it's time. And you put Proverbs 18, 20, and 21 up on your fridge, man. Put it on your dashboard. You walk into place going, I'm going to speak life. Matter of fact, I'm going to walk in the fruit of the wisdom, and I'm not going to keep thrusting with a sword that's going to be harsh. No, I want to start to heal. You want your marriage to be healed? Watch it. The words of the wise words bring healing. You want your marriage to begin to flip around and be healed? Guess what? The words you speak. Well, can have that ability to rearrange your marriage and your relationships. Speak life, church. Speak life and not death. You will walk in this place to begin to see fruit. And this is not blab it, grab it. That's not that. Because guess what? That reveals the character that's in your heart. You're greedy. If all you do is speak stuff so that you can have stuff, that reveals your heart. I love how this all ties together, right? Your character is revealed in the words that you speak. And if the words you speak are always about you, guess who's the center of attention? Come on, just bow your heads just for a minute. I believe we've had truly a wonderful day in worship and praise, and then we walk in this place to honestly see what happens when we honor the Lord in our words, and we want to walk in wisdom to our words. Proverbs 13:3 said, one who guards his mouth preserves his life. Hear this. One who guards his mouth, that means to keep control of. One who guards his mouth preserves, protects his life, but the one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Father, we just ask that you just would allow this to sit into our spirits, God. God, that we need to go into protect mode. And protect mode means we need to protect the words that we speak. Proverbs 21:23 says this, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. Church, please, with your head bowed, I just want you to see this picture here. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul. Guards his soul from trouble. Maybe your soul's a wreck because of words that we've spoke. Maybe that means you need to go and ask for forgiveness. Maybe that means you need to go and bring some clarity to some things. Maybe that just means you need to go to your husband or your wife or even your children. Your children have to come to you and walk in this place and say, listen, I said this and I am sorry and I need you to forgive me because my soul is just a wreck because of the words that I speak. My future is my fault, church. There's not a person on this planet that will be held an account for my words. Not one, except me. I want today to be one of those days that you're looking at your life going, okay, this is challenging, man. I need to be cautious on every word that I speak. It's time to think before we speak at home. It's time to walk in a place that, man, my words will speak life. Man, it's time to put that stupid, harsh sword away. Put it away. And allow your words to bring healing instead. You make that decision. Nobody can choose that for you. Church, this is one of those days that's completely, fully, totally on you. I can't come alongside you and speak for you. Can't do it. I can't be in your house at the table and speak life for you. I can't do it. Today's the day to say it's time to change. Church, it's time to change. I'm going to walk in wisdom. I'm put the sword away. I'm done thrusting in anger. I'm done thrusting in words that hurt and rip. I'm done thrusting in words that bring death, that bring shame. I'm done bringing words that embarrass. Maybe in marriage it's time to put the sarcasm away. Maybe in marriage it's time to put the shame away. Maybe in marriage it's time to put yesterday to bed. I say it's time now to speak life. Put the sword away. And allow your words to bring healing. If you're speaking ill of other people, put the sword away. It's time to have words that bring healing. It's time to walk into place. Say, I'm done speaking with a sword on my tongue, but it's time to bring healing with the words that I will speak. Church, make the decision. I beg you today, make the decision. Speak life and not death. Father, we just are so amazed by you. We love you and we praise you for this day. Lord, I am way over on time. But God, I believe that you spoke to us today as we would just take this for real in this moment. In Jesus' name, come on. Amen. Amen. Hey, you are dismissed. And if anybody needs prayer for anything, please come up and see us. Honestly, we'd love to pray with you for any reason. Come on.